For your day, and we tapped into it, we found it, mm-hmm. And it makes sense now. Now we're not just singing it, we're singing it by spirit and truth. Mm-hmm. That strong, that stream, that's the truth for your day. But back here, the I don't know if they even knew it back then, but they must have had some kind of inspiration.
Let's see.
What a beautiful thought I am thinking concerning a great speckled bird. Remember her name is recorded on the pages of God's holy word. All the other birds are flocking round her, and she is despised by the squaw. But the great speckled bird in the Bible is the one with the great church of God. All the other church against her. They envy her glory and fame. They hate her because she is chosen and has not denied Jesus' name. Desiring to lower her standard, they watch every move that she makes. They love to find fault with her teaching, but really they find no mistake. She is bidding her wings for the journey. She's going to leave by and by. When the trumpet shall sound in the morning, she'll rise and go up in the sky. And the presence of all her despisers, with a song never uttered before, she will rise and be gone in a moment, till the great tribulation is o'er. I am glad I have heard of her meekness. I am proud that my name is on her book. For I want to be one, never fearing the face of my Savior to look. When he cometh descending from heaven, on the cloud as he rides in his word, I'll be joyfully carried to meet him on the wings of the great speckled bird. When the man of Galilee hung upon a cruel tree, he was dying for sinners like me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross onto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. Just for me, the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me, as the blood came dripping down from the cross onto the ground. There was one drop he shed just for me. When they pierce this precious side, oh, forgive them now, we cry. There was pardon extended to me, as the blood and water came. Glory to his precious name, on that one drop he shed just for me. Just for me and the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me, as the blood came dripping down from the cross into the ground. There was one drop he shed just for me. When with all the saints I stand over in that happy land, and its beauty I'm able to see, as I look upon his face, I shall thank him for his grace, and that one drop he shed just for me. Just for me, the sins of my soul, just for me, make me whole. There was pardon extended to me, as the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground. There was one drop he shed just for me. There is a place I read about in God's holy word. It's built upon the mountainside, the New Jerusalem. The walls around that city are in layers of pure jewel. 12 gates along the walls, and every one a single pearl. The glory of that city would blind the human eyes. More glorious still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. And garments pure and white as snow will get around the throne. And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. Inside the city walls, I'm told, are mansions of pure gold. Where death is vanished for all time, we'll never more grow. We'll walk beside the river with the lion and the lamb. All worries will be gone and every pain will be left behind. The glory of that city would blind the human eyes. For glory still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. And garments pure and white as snow will get around the throne. And join the saints of yesterday and sing home sweet home. Inside the city walls, I'm told, are mansions of pure gold. Where that is vanished for all time, we'll evermore grow. We'll walk beside the river with the lion and the lamb. All worries will be gone and every pain be left behind. The glory of that city would blind the human eyes. More glory still will be the face of Jesus Christ the King. In garments pure and white as snow will gather around the throne. And join the saints of yesterday in singing home sweet home. I dreamt of a city called Glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, Holy, the angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and all the sights I saw. But I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, holy, holy. I clapped my hands and sang, Glory, glory to the Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, holy, holy. Then I clapped my hands and sang, Glory, glory to the Son of God. As I entered the gates of that city, my loved ones knew me well. They took me down the streets of heaven. The saints were too many to tell. I saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, talk with Mark and Timothy. But I said, I want to see Jesus, 'cause he's the one who died for me. And I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, holy, holy. I clap my hands and sing, Glory, glory to the Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, holy, holy. Then I clap my hands and sing, Glory, Glory to the Son of God.
I thought when I saw my Savior,
oh, glory to God.
I just fell right down before Him,
sing praise to the name of the Lord. I bow down and worship Jehovah, my friend of Calvary. For I wanted to give praise to Jesus, for sinning a sinner like me. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy. I clap my hands and sing glory, glory to the Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy. Then I clap my hands and sing glory, glory to the Son of God. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, going to see the King. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before His judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer Him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Yeah, it's a lot easier if you know that, if you don't know how to talk about it. All we have to do is follow the truth. It's been firmly established. And the church age of late is here. See, in the ages past, they didn't know what's going on, but we've been given a revelation on it. We know exactly what's going on. Because we had a prophet come to tell us.
That's right.
He opened up the seals. Nobody knew what the church religions were. They were just catering along, you know. They didn't know what we know now. They didn't know what this church did. Nothing about no church ages. They were just following the stream. Some of them, they didn't know what's going on, but they just followed the Lord. And now we had a prophet come, and he told us exactly what's been going on throughout the ages.
Mm-hmm. Like we can now know what happened within the 6,000 years, especially the last 2,000 years of the Grace Age. Like before that, we had no clue. Like you can look back in every church age, they didn't have the understanding that we have now. Mm-hmm. Like when those seals were opened, when Brother Brennan was up at Sabina Canyon and those seals were opened, and he could tell us what all that represents, and that Jesus opened up the seals and our understanding wasn't enlightened about what the Grace Age and what all transpired within the Grace Age, and we can know the truth.
Yeah, they can only do what I did all my life, read the Bible, but didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until I come to the ministry of Brother Brennan that I began to understand it. The church, it was a gold mine to me, because I was hungry and thirsty. That's all I wanted in life. I just wanted to know this, understand the Bible. I read it, didn't understand a thing. Mm-hmm. Some of the things, there are some things you understand. Proverbs is easy to understand and the different ones. But when it came to the real nugget, the Book of Revelation, I was completely clueless. And so were they. Prior to 1963, they would read them. But they won't understand what mm-hmm. it was. And then, same with me, like I say, it wasn't until about 95 the Lord brought me to the ministry of Brother Brenham, and then it opened up the scriptures to me. Now I not only read them, I know exactly what they mean. Mm-hmm. Same with that song we sing, Weisheit und Strom. We used to sing it all the time, and we didn't know what we were singing. But now we can sing it in spirit and truth, because now it's starting to make sense, because it's that the message for your day, the truth is marching on. It's all part of that marching on thing that we talk about it practically every day. But see, when we talk about the church age of Sardis, it's just marching on. It was a time when there was a Sardis church age, and then it had its end, and then it came into Philadelphia, and we're going to read it to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, right? These things said, he that is holy, and he that is true, he had the key of David. He that opened, and no man can shut, and shut it, and no man can open. It was only in the church age of Philadelphia where there was no open door. You could go in, if you choose to go in, you can go into further revelation. He said, he had set before it open door, and no man can shut it, and no man can open it, and no man can shut it. I know that works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. See, that's the church in Philadelphia. It's just that the way the Lord is giving more inspiration, more revelation. His truth is marching on, but now he's set before you an open door. No other church age was there an open door. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept my word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's what's going on around us. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is to do Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It's just, like I say, the truth is marching on. Before that, Church Age of Philadelphia, they didn't have what they had prior to that. But in the Church Age of Philadelphia, there was an open door, and that open door was simply opening up to go into more revelation, to go and to prepare you to go into the church of Laodicea. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what the church of Laodicea will have.
Yeah, nothing mm-hmm. but a gold mine, really. Mm-hmm. Heavenly mm-hmm. Father, we want to just come into your presence, Lord. Give you thanks for this another day of life, for your word. Mostly, Lord, for your word that we open up and that we've allowed us to continue on in the truth, Lord. The truth is marching on. You've allowed us to see what's been going on throughout the ages, Lord. And it was just the only thing, Lord, we can do is say we're so grateful, Lord, that you've found us worthy to move on our hearts and to open up your word for us, Lord. Back in the day when you came to us, saying, I'm coming soon, and you allowed us to see, then you allowed us to prepare ourselves, to prepare us for the day and hour that we're now living in, Lord. It's all your grace and mercy, and we just pray, Lord, we'll be found worthy to call on your name, worthy to, that we'll be worthy of the calling that you put in our lives, Lord, that we'll be faithful and true to the things you've called us to be, Lord. That's all we ever wanted in life, Lord. It's just to understand your word and somebody that we could share in fellowship, have fellowship with. And Lord, you've given us everything now. All we ask, Lord, now is to be faithful right to the end, Lord. We just ask you to open up the hearts of the people that they'll be able to understand the same thing that we're seeing here, Lord. We pray you give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I sure wouldn't want to live in this world without the understanding of the importance of God sending a prophet. And, everybody shies away from it. The minute we mention anything about a prophet, oh, they're them two again. Oh, they believe in that stupid prophet. Oh, they believe in that Branham thing. Wherever we go, oh, he's that guy that believes that that Branham thing. Little do they know that that's the very existence of life, is to know that God sent the prophet here in the church here to Laodicea. They're clueless. They're just out there just doing what everybody is doing, because the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with that wine of that religious fornication that they can't see. You can't even penetrate it. We sometimes go and see people and visit with them. They're completely clueless about what we're talking about. And then we're looked down as crazy, you know. We're mm-hmm. like the truth will be spoken of.
Yeah.
We're the strange guys then.
Not too long ago we saw this lady. And that's what a lot of people say. When you will let them know what God has done in this hour, and that God sent a prophet and Laodicea and this and that, they don't want to have that. And they say, I have the Bible. I don't need any other books. I have the Bible. And then I go, do you understand the Bible? Oh, I understand everything in the Bible. And I think, I say, well, that's strange. I didn't understand the Bible. There are certain things, of course, you understand the salvation part, and you comprehend the stories in the Bible. But the spiritual aspect of a lot of the things in the Bible are closed up to your understanding unless you come to that prophet. And that's what that prophet was doing, was all about, was revealing the Son of Man, revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you go back to the early church, the first thing, the Antichrist spirit was after the Godhead. And then the first thing he started doing was the role of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he deity? Was he, didn't come in the flesh, and he created all these talking points out there, and all this confusion, and then pretty soon people didn't know what they believed anymore, and that's how the Antichrist spirit works. He takes away your understanding who God is and who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And then it took away the water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it just evolved into the dark ages. And that's the very thing that God was starting to bring back at the Reformation, is to take you all back to that faith of the early church. But it took a process. It didn't happen overnight. It took men like Martin Luther. It took men like John Wesley and many men that, even like before the Reformation, Huss and Wycliffe, there were men that God used that were very instrumental in carrying that torch of truth it took men. The torch of truth doesn't go anywhere if men do not carry it. Like in the Olympics, that torch, somebody has to run with it. And that's exactly, that torch of truth was, somebody carried it and continued on with it. Mm-hmm. And that was in the hour of John Wesley, in the Philadelphia church age, that's exactly what John Wesley was doing. He was carrying that torch of truth. And his teaching was, like we said last week, he preached very much on salvation. But he added to that, like John Martin Luther was, the just shall live by faith. That was all about the salvation. And he preached, John Wesley preached of salvation. But in it was added also a holy living, live a sanctified life. That was very much dedicated to his ministry. Like, he came from a family of 19 children. He was, I think, 15, and Charles Wesley was his brother. And those two worked side by side in many ways. Charles Wesley wrote a lot of hymns, and you can read a lot of their hymns that they wrote, John Wesley and even Charles Wesley, they wrote hymns. See, the truth was marching on, but when you look at that overlap, there is a door that no one can close. And you can see how that age of Philadelphia and Laodicea overlapped. See, that was taking you into that open door that was in the Laodicea church hour for going into more revelation, into where the Son of Man was being revealed, taking you back to the faith of the early church. And then there is that ecumenical system out there. Those that did not go into that open door, they're part of that ecumenical system that is out there. That, when it says the hour of temptation, the hour of testing, mm-hmm. and that's what tests a lot of people. If they want to, where the truth is marching on, move on with the truth, or they're just going to fall in line with that ecumenical system, that universal church that is out there. Like, you can go from one church to another. A lot of people do church hopping. They like to do church hopping, but in the end, they're still part of the same universal church, mm-hmm. that ecumenical system that is out there, that has developed with the World Council of Churches, and that is that image to the beast. That image of the beast, they were making an image to Roman Catholicism, the same model that Roman Catholicism, that's that ecumenical system out there, the World Council of Churches, and that's those people, they have gone that way out there. That is that hour of testing. People, that open door led from the Philadelphia church right into the Laodicea church hour, with Brother Brenham, where the Son of Man was being revealed.
And if you reject that, you're just mm-hmm. going to simply fall right back into Roman Catholicism.
That's right.
Fall right into the tribulation hour, and it'll take you out to hell. And that, it's just that simple. That's why we've been beating our gums here together for the last 40 years, trying to get people to come on board, because that's all that's the only thing that'll keep you from that hour of temptation. Mm-hmm. If you come on board, you have that safety net. You're part of that stream that continues to flow on. And then that's why we sing that song. That's why we're doing everything on a day-to-day basis. That's why our song and dance is simply come and to accept the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, because that's the only thing that's left here in these closing days of time, is the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you come on board and you're part of it, you're not going to be sucked into that world council for that great tribulation that's our, and the hour of temptation that's before us. You just simply take that open door, and that open door and the hour that we are now living in is simply the truth for you. Just because it happens to be you and I, we just happen to be the two people that God has honed out to carry that torch, and carry the torch of truth just a little bit further up the road. Mm-hmm. And that's the last leg of the journey. After that, it goes into something else, something that you don't want to experience. Because it's But the grace itch is over, and now the only thing that's left, we keep saying it over and over again, is the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And people, then they don't take us serious. They think we're just two fly-by-nights here at the end of this road, and just beating our gums together. But no, this is reality. To you and I, this is the reality. This is the truth. This is continuing on from the things that have been firmly established. And all we're doing, we're exposing what's out there. We're exposing that world church system. We're exposing who Brother Brennan was. We're exposing who Brother Jackson was. They were simply doing exactly what the Bible says to do, to reveal the Son of Man. That's all we ever wanted. Because back in the book, back in the Bible, I read, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, God, and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. And we went on and we found out this is going to be eternal life that they believe on them. And I was saying, the truth is marching on. And these people, they just simply, they marched on with the truth. They really didn't know what they're doing, because it was hit from there up until 63. And then God sent the prophet to open up what had been going on throughout the ages. And here we were so fortunate and so blessed that we happened to step into it. And we're like it says over in Malachi 3, I think, we're like this fatted calf. It's not an ordinary calf. It's spiritually speaking. We've been fed and watered like no generation has ever been with the understanding of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And here, there are people that just go down the road of life like nothing has ever happened. But see, you and I, we're sensitive. We know we're in touch with reality. We know what's been going on out here throughout the ages. And to us, it's like a gold mine. And we're not going to let go of it. The devil has tried to, over the years, to throw everything at us he can. He should think he did. The devil will do that. Once you tap into the real thing, believe you me, you got an enemy. Mm-hmm. But the devil, he does not want us to talk about this here truth. So what does he do? He uses these religions, these churches out here to try to divert you. Everywhere we go, we're knocked out, we're kicked out, we're looked down on as nothing. But see, that's all part of the program. That's the penalty that you have to go through. That's the sacrifice that you have to make. And we don't have that many, really, that many people that believe us. But we got the truth, and we got a mandate from the Lord to continue on and to hold on to the things that have been firmly established throughout the church ages, mm-hmm. especially throughout the church age of Laodicea, when God sent a prophet. That's what they look at. When they see it, the first thing they look, these are these two that believe in that prophet. They believe in that Brother Brennan stuff. And they're all in all, they're like a bunch of lunatics. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're talking about. They're no-brainers. They just yet because they heard somebody else yet. They're picking up the spirit of that Antichrist that's out there, that's rampant all around the world.
Yeah.
To be drunk with that wine of that spiritual fornication. That's what they're drunk with. So that they can't really reason. They don't even stop and think, well, maybe we should maybe take a look at it. Let's see what he has. It's not really our job to convince people. We're just putting it out there. If there's somebody out there, that's one of the things the Lord told me. He woke me at 5 o'clock in the morning, told me to start up his website, and he told me, don't even advertise, just put it out there. If somebody has a hunger and a thirst for truth, he will bring them to it. And sometimes we try to go out there and tell it to people, and it always backfires. It just goes right back to where God told me, right out of the start of the gate, if you put it out there, if somebody has a hunger and a thirst, I will bring them to it. And like I say, every time we try to do something, it kind of backfires on us. But you can't give this to anybody. I tried to give it to that preacher Dave, but because he was very instrumental. Back in the day, I was going to the church there, and I knew when the Lord brought me to Brother Brenham, I went and told him about it, and he fought this vehemently. And he was opposed it right to the very end. And I tried to give it to him. I tried to give it to that Joe Wagner from Byron Rock. But see, you can't give it to anybody because they have to meet the conditions that God will give it to you. If you can't, if you're not willing to put your life on the line and to just It got sacrificed.
Yeah.
We can't give it to anybody because we don't know. God only knows the heart of the person, and he knows when that person has completely committed, that then he will open up. Then he will open up the understanding mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. I've tried time and time again, and every time I tried, it backfires on me. And mm-hmm. trying to give it to these people, but I can't because they cannot submit, and I have to go back to the drawing board. The Lord told me right out of the gate, if somebody has a hunger and a thirst, and really that they're willing to put their life on the line, just like you and I had to do, we lost everything for the sake of truth. We lost everything to find that pearl of great price, and that's the only way you'll ever get it. You have got to be willing to lose it all, and then the Lord takes you and he opens up your understanding, your spirit's understanding to it. It's just that simple. Because the truth is marching on. Now, if we march with it, we'll be blessed. If we don't march with it, the truth will keep on going and just leave us out in the cold if we don't follow with it. That's all right. We're doing. Uh-huh. We're just following with the truth.
Like it's like that story of that eagle that was caught up with the chicken coop there. And that's how I felt when I go over my life. I didn't feel like I belonged in that Hutterite system. Sometimes I thought there was something wrong with me. And, you know, when you just don't fit in, something just isn't right with your spirit. In the same way with all these denomination churches out there, I was in there. Sometimes I would go to places, other churches, and I just did not fit in. And I just couldn't figure out what it was. And I realized it just like that eagle with those chickens. You just can't identify with chickens. That eagle couldn't identify with those chickens until he found people of his own. When I came to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, that's when my spirit said, this is what I've been looking for. This is where I belong. And, you know, that your spirit knows these things and identifies them. When you are in the truth for your day and hour, and you're one of the only people that I could ever identify with, spiritually speaking, at a spiritual level. Like you come across all kinds of people in your walk of life, but you can't really identify with them because spiritually they're on a different page. And that's why, like I said, when you tell people about the truth for your day and hour, they'll right away they say, I have my Bible, and that's all I need. I have Jesus, he's my rock, and he's my everything. And then they just push out any other truth that there is. See, and I said, do you understand the Bible? I understand everything. That is really funny because I did not understand the Bible. There are certain things you understand, but as a complete overall, the Godhead and the whole counsel of God, I did not know things until I came to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. My understanding was not open, just like those seals were not open until 1963. Until I came to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, that's when these things were open up to me, that understanding. And that's why when people, they shut you off, they call you controversial because they fault you for striving on, moving on, and wanting the truth, continuing on in the truth, and not being satisfied with that old dead carrot, that old meat that's laying by the wayside there, that's been old, full of maggots already. And they're satisfied with that. But as for me, there was something more, and I wanted that something more. And a lot of people, they cannot give up that sacrifice that it requires to move on in truth. Like, you have to leave behind a lot. You have to leave behind your family, your friends, your acquaintances, and things like that. That's why when people sing a song, the truth is precious to me, and they don't do anything about the truth, you wonder how precious that truth really was to them. Because if the truth is precious to you, you'll do whatever it takes to run that race, run that course, and make it to the finish line because you're running for the truth. That is your whole That is the goal that you that is set before you, the truth, and that nothing will stop you. A lot of people, they get stopped by partiality, like Tim Relaford. He stopped right there with his partiality, favoring some other people, even though they're teaching wrong, over other people. See, that's where you stop, because the truth is not that precious to you. If it's precious to you, that's what you're going to pursue, not personal feelings. And that's what happens to a lot of people along the road of life. Something comes up, and that is similar to that hour of testing. Something comes up and they cannot get over that hour of testing.
Amen to that. See, it's the end of the day that counts.
That's right.
At the end of the day, everything will be made clear. They fault us for leaving my family, and they accused me of leaving my family. I fought tooth and nail to preserve my family, but they told me, you don't have a family. That family that you have, these children, they belong to the church. And that wife that you have, she's not yours. They belong to the church. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to take them to court. I'm going to sit there and fight. Or will I do what the Bible says? Vengeance is mine. I will repay. We've spoken of about all that. Vengeance is mine. I will pay. In the meantime, I'll just keep on moving on in truth, moving on with the Lord. And the Lord is going to take, at the end of the day, that time, like when your mom was sick, and they won't even allow you to go home to visit your mom. And then, and then you call them up, and they told you, if you show up here, you will smash up your car and things like that. Well, see, and then they faulted you for that, and they'd ask you, did you go visit your mom? Well, how can I go visit when they won't let me in there? And see, like, at the end of the day, it's what counts. You couldn't go visit your mom, and then they fault you for not visiting your mom, and we just left it. We just left it be, and then your mom passed away, and see, like I say, it's the end of the day that counts. When your mom passed away, you and I, for a whole week, we were having a hallelujah time here because she has a good place. She went to a good place. And then the same thing with your dad. They faulted you for not visiting your dad. And finally, the Lord gave us the go-ahead because he was in a hospital. They couldn't stop us from going to the Morton hospital there to go visit him down there. And we went to visit him. And then when he passed away, we had a hallelujah time here. That's why I say it's the end of the day that comes. Mm-hmm. At the end of it all, God is going to see to it. And when he passed away, we were having a hallelujah time here when he passed away. The same with my sibling. When my brother passed away, we know he's in a good place simply because we fought for truth all your life, all our life. And your siblings and your family, God remembers that because we talked enough about what happens. About when you stand for truth, there's somebody in a family structure. If you stand for truth, God will see to it that your siblings and your family structure, the people that are under your watch, that they'll have an expectant. And all we got to do is to be faithful and to continue on in truth. God will look after the necessary thing that you have no control over. And we've said it, experienced it time and time again. When somebody will pass away and somebody that's under our watch, we would have a hallelujah time. But somebody that doesn't do their part, like that, my cousin Paul, he died here from Bloomfield some time back. We were not rejoicing when he passed away because we'd be trying to reach out to that family forever and a day. And every time we do, we get backfires. They mock us and they make fun of us. Well, see, it was not a hallelujah time when I heard that he passed away. It's completely the opposite of when my brother, because I know I'm that star for our family structure. Like I keep saying, there's a son for every family structure. There's somebody that God holds accountable to walk on with the Lord. Really, there's nothing you can do. Only thing that you and I can do, we're just, the only thing that you can do is to continue on in truth, and God will look after the things that you have no control over. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
We prove it time and time again. Yeah, they left the door on us, but they can't really shut God out because God works invisibly, and he sometimes sets up a situation where you have no control over, but you just keep on moving on in the Lord. That's why we're staying on that straight and narrow path. That's why we're moving on, because At the end of the day is what counts. That's what I'm trying to say here. The truth is marching on, and as long as you and I march on with the truth, it's just going to be, it's just that simple. We have nothing to worry about. All we got to do is continue on in truth. God will look after everything that's necessary to be looked after. Mm-hmm. Just that simple.
That's right, because when you believe the truth for your day and hour, that is, God holds his word above his name. Now God is going to see to the rest, because you have done everything that you have according to his word, and then God will do the rest. He'll surely make a way in a whirlwind. He'll make a way in a flood. He'll make a way for a family member, because there's somebody in that family structure that has touched the heart of God, and then God can look at that and protect your family. And it's just the way the scripture is. I always say there's a lot of clauses in God's word. There's a lot of amendments that God has. If a person walks in truth, then God will see to that their family is protected, and he'll make a way for them. Like, you can see a lot of family trees, they don't have much protection, and they're out in the world, and there's just nothing there, no spiritual connection. But then there's another family that you can see that somewhere down the line in that family tree, somebody was able to touch the heart of God, and that God was able to bless that family. And it's just a simple principle of God.
Yeah, it goes back to the Ten Commandments. God's going to have mercy on those thousands of generations down the line for those that love him and keep his commandment. Mm-hmm. And then the opposite of it is, God, for three generations, God's going to forgive him.
He's going to visit
the iniquity of the fathers onto the children. You wonder sometimes why this family is not thriving. Why they got on all kinds of hard lucks and everything. Simply because the family member, somebody that God called out, he refused to surrender to the Lord, and then disaster comes to that whole family structure. We're not just beating our gums together. We can go back and I see experience after experience. We see it with broad daylight of some families. They're being, it's almost like there's a curse on. No matter what you do, you try, you kind of feel sorry for, but somewhere in their past, that certain family member that the Lord has honed out, he did not do his part.
Mm-hmm.
And there's others, like you were saying, that are blessed beyond, you wonder how come they're blessed about it. Simply because that family member, when God called on them, he yielded, and he says, yes, Lord, I'll do exactly what you tell me to do. And then that whole family structure is being blessed beyond comprehension. And that's all we're doing. That's all we're living for. That's why we want to be right with the Lord. That's why we're continuing on in the truth. That's why when we heard about Brother Branham, we moved right on ahead, because we knew it was the truth.
That's right.
That's all we're interested in, continuing on with the truth. We don't care what people say to or think. We just know this is the truth. At the end of the day, it's going to pay off. That's all we care about. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we're going to get everything. They'll throw at you everything they can, because the devil, he doesn't like us to continue on the truth. So he does his dirty tricks, you know. He can only play dirty, and then he uses these thugs, he uses these people to play dirty too, you know. They just throw everything at you, and then he lies up things about us that's not true. And but see, that's all part of the program. All we got to do is continue on in truth, and that's all we're doing. We're right now continuing on in truth. We're telling people there's only one thing left, the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you reject that, then I'm afraid there's very little hope for you. You're just going to go out in that sea of deception out there, and that'll trust all the whole world, and you're going to go end up in the World Council of Churches, and you're going to end up in that tribulation, and then you'll go out to hell in that. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
We're just putting it out there for whosoever will. Let him come and partake of the waters of life, really. Just that's it.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. We give you thanks, Lord, for your word, for the truth of our day, as the truth has marched on. We thank you for that open door, Lord, that you have presented, Lord, so we can walk on into more truth, more revelation, and into the Lord Jesus Christ as he was being revealed to the church age messenger and that chief apostle, Lord. And we just want to present it to people, your glorious ways, Lord, and what that hour of testing is, and how that ecumenical system has is out there and is deceiving people. And in the end, you're going to go through that tribulation hour, and that brings to their destruction, Lord. We just want to give you thanks for all these things. Take these words and let them speak to the hearts of people. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.